I was asked to preach, of all things, a lesson on stealing. Some of you are probably aware that from time to time, we've been having some things disappear. And that shouldn't be. Now, we know that we are no longer under the law of Moses, and that one of those Ten Commandments was, thou shalt not steal, and we said, well, we're not under that law anymore, so we can just take whatever we want, right? No, afraid not. The New Testament also teaches us that we're not supposed to steal. We should not take things that don't belong to us. Our lesson this morning is entitled, Thieves and Robbers. And now some of you are sitting there thinking, well, I'm not the one that's been taking things, so I don't have to listen to this lesson. You better pay close attention. Because we're going to talk about a lot more than just those few things that have gone missing around the building here. We're going to deal with something that's going to touch every single one of us in one way or another. The scripture that was read, 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11, says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I want us to notice those two phrases at the beginning of verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous. You know, some folks may be covetous, but they may never actually steal it. Right there in that same section of Scripture, Paul condemns that just as clearly. He says, those people are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says in verse 11, and this is the part I want us to think about, and such were some of you. Notice that word, were. We're not supposed to still be doing those things. Now, I know that just because we've become Christians doesn't mean we automatically just never have a temptation to do all of those sinful things that we did before we became Christians. I know it doesn't work that way. But if we have a problem with a certain temptation, then we need to seek some help in overcoming that temptation. It says, such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, in our particular case, we know that it's somebody who has a key. We have a pretty good idea of who it is. So, feel guilty. But if it doesn't stop, then the keys will all be revoked and we'll have to start over with giving keys out only to those that we know. If you know that you've got a key and it's too much of a temptation to you to go in and take things that aren't yours, just drop your key in the box back there in the back and I'll pick it up. If it's too much of a temptation, just get away from the temptation. If you don't have a key, it won't tempt you to go in there and get things when others aren't here, and to take things that don't belong to you. But I want us to even though we want to stop that problem, but I want us to move on to a problem that's more general to all of us. And I want to ask you the question, what kind of thief are you? Well, I'm not a thief. I haven't stolen anything. Well, you just keep thinking that, but listen, and let's see. Have you stolen from God? Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 9, Malachi writes, will a man rob God? And then speaking for God, he says, yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And then he says, they robbed him in the tithes and the offering. He says in verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now we know, again, we're not under the Old Testament law of the tithe, but we are commanded to give every man as he's prospered. And guess what? If you're not, you're robbing God. Then rob God? I'd never. And I mean, think about that. As we pass the collection plate today, How many of you would reach in there and take some of the money that's in that plate?
I'd never do a thing like that.
But you know, if you're not putting in what you should, you're doing the same thing. You're taking money out of the collection.
Yeah.
You're not physically reaching in there and pulling somebody else's money that they've given out, but you're keeping your money from going where it needs to go. You're keeping the fellowship hall from being paid off faster. You're keeping tracts from being mailed out to those who are lost. You're keeping missionaries from being sent to foreign countries. Because you're withholding. He said, well, you know, I'm just holding back $5 a week. $5 a week is $150, $160 really, in a year. But any missionary would be grateful for that extra amount. Imagine, with another $150, we could send out more of the house-to-house, heart-to-heart. We could buy more tracts to give out. There's so many things that we could do with that much money every year. Well, let's look at some of the things that may be stolen from God. First of all, possessions. We talked about that. You realize when we use the money from the church treasury to buy cleaning supplies or toilet paper or grape juice for the communion, whatever it might be that we use money from the treasury, that's the Lord's money that we've used, and once we purchase it, that is for the Lord, for His use and for the use of the church. And you say, well, I'm part of the church, I have a right to it. Well, it's for us to use when we're here. It's not for us to take home. It's sanctified, it's set apart for a certain use because of the fact that it was bought with the money from the church treasury. And when we steal those things, we're stealing from God. What about money? We talked about already the contribution. If I'm not giving as I've been prospered, well, what about if I'm prospered this week, but since I didn't go to church this week, I don't give this week. And then I'm prospered next week, and I go to church, and so I give that week. Well, what about that other week I was prospered and didn't give? See, whenever I'm gone out of town or elsewhere, I give either before I go for that week or else I give when I come back the next week. We give as we've been prospered. Not just as we attend, but as we've been prospered. So we may be stealing money from Him in that way. We may be stealing money from Him by wasting our money on things that are sinful. Money that could be used to help others, could be used to spread the gospel, and we waste it on sinful things. That's stealing money from God. What about our time? Oh, how many of us are guilty of stealing time from God? We take God's time. The time that He has specified for us to come and worship Him. And we steal that time and use it for whatever we want to use it for. That's stealing from God. What about our talent? Oh, how many people have stolen talent, their own talent from God? That God gave them this talent to use, and they won't use it for Him. Stolen. And how much of talent that God has given has been stolen because for years we weren't obedient to Him. We had that talent all those years, but we wouldn't obey Him. We wouldn't come to Him. We were out in the world, or we were worshiping falsely, or we were living wicked lives, even though we were being hypocrites. You know, we were coming to church, but we were living wicked. And all of that talent. What about respect? How many of us have stolen the respect or even the reputation that God deserves? Do you remember what God told David after he sinned with Bathsheba? He said, because of your sin, the heathen are blaspheming my name. How many of us have stolen the respect and the reputation that God should have because we've lived in a way that we shouldn't? We've brought shame on His name. You see, stealing isn't always going in and just grabbing something and taking off with it. There's a lot of stealing that goes on.
that doesn't fit with that particular thing. Well, what kind of thief are you? And are you going to be one of those like in 1 Corinthians 6, such were some of you? Are you going to make the decision that from now on, I'm not going to do that anymore? I'm going to do better. Well, have you stolen from others? Romans 13, 8 through 13, Paul says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, he said, all of those commandments, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, that's the second commandment, second only to loving the Lord your God. Right below that is, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, everything, all of Moses' law and everything, it hung on those two commandments. Then he says in verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. See, envy too goes along with covetousness, wanting something that somebody else has. So have you stolen from others? Here's some things that could be stolen from others. Again, possession or money. Those things, those are the things we usually think about. It. Possessions and money, we think, that's stealing. But there are other things. You know, through gossip, we can steal somebody else's reputation. We can just take it away from them. What a horrible thing to do. That's theft. That's stealing. Also, by our own laziness or by our own inattention, we may steal someone else's opportunity to be saved by not sharing the gospel with them when we have the opportunity. If we have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone and we don't do it, that may be the only opportunity they ever have to hear the gospel. They may never again have the chance to hear the truth. And because of that, they may be lost. We've stolen that opportunity from them because we knew and we didn't do. Then we also, through stealing, may steal opportunities for that person to do good to others. And this goes back a little bit to the stealing. You know, if there's a member of the church that has need, what is the church supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to provide for that need, aren't we? But if when you have a need, instead of asking for help, you steal, not only have you stolen, but you've also kept those other Christians from being able to do their duty in helping. We have needs. Certainly, I mean, if a package of toilet paper doesn't cost but a couple of dollars, I'm sure somebody could find a couple of dollars to help out. Maybe some embarrassment and some shame, pride sometimes keeps us from doing what we ought to do. But you know, we can do that to others. Imagine if we steal money from somebody else. That may very well be money that they were going to use for good toward others. And it keeps them then from being able to do that because they don't have that money. Or perhaps if we steal a possession of theirs, we may then steal that opportunity. They can't use, if we steal somebody's car, so then they don't have that car to be able to give people a ride that need it. We steal other people's opportunities to do good. And of course, we may steal someone's life. We call that murder, don't we? But often thieves and robbers sometimes go in with guns and knives and other weapons and kill to take what they want to make and steal other people's lives. But regardless of what you steal from others or from God,
if you've done one of these things that we've talked about, and there's a good chance at some point, you know, all of us have done the wrong thing at times. All of us have not done what we should. Brother Johnny Ramsey said all of us have stolen from God because we've not done everything we ought to do. And whenever we didn't do what we should have done, we stole from God. Well, that's true, that we have. But we need to make the resolution not to in the future. We'll probably stumble again, but then we get back up and we try again. God's gracious, He's merciful and forgiving. But have you stolen from yourself? How could I steal from myself? What do you mean? Well, let's think about that. 1 Peter 4, 14 through 16 says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." Now watch verse 15 then. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." If we are thieves, we're going to suffer. And Peter says Christians should never suffer for being thieves or being covetous, being evildoers, being busybodies. We shouldn't suffer for those things. So here's some things that we may steal from ourselves. You may steal your own joy. I think most of us don't feel good about ourselves when we do something wrong. When we know that we should have done something and we didn't do it, or we know that we shouldn't have done something and we do it anyway, well, that doesn't make us very happy with ourselves, does it? We don't have much joy under those circumstances. So when we steal from God or steal from others, we steal joy from ourselves. We steal peace as well. You know, if I've stolen something from somebody else, I may not be able to rest well at night knowing that I have something that doesn't belong to me. Or wondering, depending on what it is or how big it is, wondering whether they're going to find out or whether the police are going to come after me, or, you know, depending on the size of the theft. But I steal my peace. And more than that, I steal my peace with God, because I know deep down in my heart, deep down in my soul, that I'm not right with God anymore because I've disobeyed Him. I've stolen my peace. And then we also steal the blessings that God wants to give us. We steal our own blessings from God. God wants to bless us so richly. But when we rob Him, then He can't bless us. When we rob others, He won't bless us. He doesn't bless evildoers. He blesses those who do righteously. I've heard people say oftentimes, "Well, I can't afford to give." Give and trust God to bless you. Now, you know, there comes a point where you just can't give anymore. You have requirements to take care of your family. God's commanded that. You know, you have certain bills that must be paid. But through budgeting and through watching what we spend and prioritizing, maybe deciding to cut out things that aren't necessary, we'll find we really have more money than we think we do. We've just been wasting a lot of it, most likely. So we sometimes steal from ourselves the blessings from God. And then if we continue in this practice of thievery, we're going to steal eternal life from our own soul. Boy, wouldn't that be something to sacrifice eternity with God for something that's going to burn up? Something that's going to be destroyed? What a waste. Then, of course, we also steal our own reputation. When we steal from other people, our reputation is damaged, because we may think we're sneaky and nobody knows, but
it's usually found out. And when it's found out, then we get the reputation of being a thief. You remember Judas? He said, well, this should have been sold and the money given to the poor. And John records, he didn't say this because he was concerned about the poor, but he kept the bag and he was a thief and he put his own hand in the bag. See, he had gained that reputation and he had ruined his good reputation that he may at one time have had. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more. That's my admonition to all of us today. Whatever it is that you've stolen, you know, sometimes we really look down on the person who maybe has stolen some of the grape juice or the cleaning supplies. Oh, see, but sometimes we're more guilty than they are of stealing bigger things. But we need to all repent of the things we've stolen, whether it be from God or others or from self. We need to repent, and we need to make the determination that even though that in the past we stole, we'll steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may be have to give to him that needeth. And then Romans 2:21 says, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? You know, isn't that what we teach? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? And we claim we're being obedient to the Bible. The Bible says don't steal. Wouldn't we tell somebody else, don't steal, it's bad, don't do that? Well, do we teach ourselves when we're teaching others? If we tell other folks don't steal, then we need to be sure that we're following through on that and we're not stealing. It says, thou that teachest another, do not steal. Just about steal. We need to watch out for this. It's easy. You see, the devil's tricky and sneaky, and he'll make us think that what we're doing isn't as bad as what somebody else may be doing. But we can still be guilty of being thieves and robbers. If you're here this morning and you've been guilty of this in the past, but you want to determine to do better, I hope that you will. If you feel compelled to respond to the invitation, to repent of that sin, or perhaps you've been stealing from God your whole life by not being obedient to Him, by not giving Him your life. Give your life to Him today. Repent. Turn to Him. Confess Jesus as the Christ. Be willing to be baptized, to wash your sins away, and to begin a new life, to steal no more. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand in this.